Absolutely, and for those of you who want to just cast your mind back to the 90s...
The truth is always out there. Sometimes way out there, with the Midweek Drive team on Siren 107.3 FM.
But there's only so much infinity you can take, if I'm not actually paraphrasing an unquantifiable paraphrasing thing there. Guru Josh, sir, I'm not sure whether you were a fan of Paul Walden at all, Anna. Native of Jersey, of course, commonly known as Guru Josh, a Jersey musician active in the British post-acid house scene. Was Jersey in mourning, having lost one of its finest dentist sons?
Well, I've been away, you see. I only came back a couple of days ago, and I can't say I've seen anything to that effect, and I'm guilty of not knowing much about the scene at all.
Just in case you're wondering, and we'll have a little bit of infinity in the background there, Paul Walden was the son of a Jersey dentist, Harold Walden, and after studying...
Harold Walden is actually my next door... Well, he owns the dentist practice next door to where I live.
You see? This is why we actually like to have this whole thing through, exactly.
Oh,
and after studying dentistry in 1981, he began his career as an entertainer and keyboard player at the Sands nightclub in Jersey, performing under the name of Syndrone and Animal and His Crazy Organs. In 1988, Walden tried ecstasy for the first time at a London pub where he was playing a gig with his rock band Joshua Cries Wolf, subsequently switching from rock to house music. Much loved in the house music scene. I know that our very own dance team at Siren Groundworks will probably be running a tribute, but I just thought it's worth noting that Infinity and Guru Josh, sadly, he's up in that infinity in the sky. But there we are. Anyway, I mean, we also lost Natalie Cole and, of course, the drummer from The Specials. But never mind. You're still with us, Anna. That's the important thing. So, good news. How was the festive period for your good self, and did you survive it and thrive through it?
Yes, the only thing I would say is I don't want to see a turkey for a very, very, very long time.
Did you not go goose this year then?
Well, no, my daughter went out to the supermarket. They ran out of chickens. It was just the two of us together, you see. We weren't going to go the whole hog with the turkey. And then because they ran out, she bought a turkey that's to feed five or six people. And it should have done, really, but we were eating it for like 4 days on the trot, and we got fed up with it in the end.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, we can at least acknowledge the fact that, yes, your daughter has now got a postgraduate qualification. Whistles and joys and happiness there in terms of the sort of secrets going through. So well done, congratulations. Would you like to give her a name check?
Yes, her name is Yasmin Baghiani.
There we are, Yasmin Baghiani, who's probably on the phone now saying, what more turkey, mother? What's happening on? It's amazing. For regular aficionados of the Midweek Dive, you appreciate that this is the time where we normally go live to Nashville. And we will be going live to Nashville probably next week. Cameron Tilbury had unforeseen circumstances that cropped up today, which is perfectly understandable. However, we do have a sensational sequence that's come through into the whole zone because we have Janine Barry, who has presided over a whole range of things. She's actually coming up with a little number called Carousel. And, Anna, you are in the role of being able to cast your critical ear over this whole sequence, together with the legend that is Emma Tinson. How are you, Emma?
I'm very well, thank you.
Yay. You see, Emma is with us. We knew she wouldn't let us down. That's the important thing. All sorted through there like the classic Surrey correspondent that she actually is.
Classic.
As we said, we change a few things around because Cameron couldn't be with us, so we've had to... Yeah, exactly. It happens. It's what works our way through this whole thing. But we do have Janine Barry. This is Carousel on... I suppose I really should actually try and do a kind of post-cold Cameron-esque introduction. I suppose I should, but I probably won't, actually. So let's just sort of ease away from that. By the way, Happy New Year, Emma Tinson.
Happy New Year, Alex Lefcher.
Well, you are. It's you. On Siren 107.3 FM, this is Janine Barry and Carousel. Carousel and Janine Barry. What did you make of that little tune, Emma Tinson?
That was quite nice, wasn't it? Some nice guitar in there. It was a bit upbeat.
Quite the first tune on the Midweek Drive for 2016, because that, of course, goes to Guru Josh and Infinity, the late Guru Josh, who indeed his father just lives a couple of doors along from Anna Lewis in Jersey.
Ah.
Even though she hadn't realised the news, but there we are. So we don't like to break bread. But Anna, what did you make of Carousel and Janine Barry?
Really lovely, actually. Yeah, it's quite upbeat, isn't it? Yeah, it's catchy. I like that. Yeah.
Well, that's all we want as we actually approach more Eurovision, because, of course, that's still to come. On the programme today, we've got Tara Bennett, a writer who has actually interviewed Gillian Anderson, David Duchovny, William Shatner and Jonathan Frakes. Because, yes, indeed, Emma, it is indeed 50 years. 50 years.
Surely not.
Exactly, since the series actually started. In glorious sort of Technicolor, three different covers you've got for SFX. You've got the Blue Science cover, you've even got the gold SFX Command cover, and all sorts of other bits and pieces.
So but, it's all good news for Star Trek fans.
Yeah, and page 58 is where we actually come up with one of the classic quotes. I know Anna is an English graduate, you'll appreciate this particular one. Yes, it is amazing. I'm not inured to the awesomeness of it. I'm not inured to the awesomeness of it. He is Canadian, of course, still. How can you actually diss the Shatner and various other species? So we've learned you didn't have enough turkey. You had too much turkey, so you're stepping away from the turkey. Yeah. Were you a turkey girl, Emma?
I mean, it doesn't really stick to my vegetarian diet.
I didn't think it did. Yeah, exactly. Yes.
It was a no-no for me. But I did stock up on lots of vegetables and everything. I quite enjoyed Christmas this year because I was really ill last year at Christmas, so I didn't really feel like eating anything. So it got to this year and I was like, I need to have everything I can. And lots of chocolates and things like that as well, which was lovely.
But beware the sugar time bomb. We'll
be
talking about that tomorrow. Honestly, those you can actually download a free app that can actually help you with sugar. And it's frightening, actually, that, you know, actually that most five-year-olds actually annually consume their own weight in sugar.
Gosh, yeah, that's crazy.
It's insane. You've got to look towards that. Anyway, Anna, as we were about to say, any other sort of key points you'd like to share with us in terms of life in Jersey or indeed outside of Jersey?
Yeah, I mean, London was an experience. I don't know quite whether Lincoln has the sort of mad phenomenon of like...
Anna, Lincoln is the London of the East Midlands.
It is well, indeed.
It's the horror of Oxford Street on Boxing Day. I don't know if there's an equivalent like Oxford Street in Lincoln, but I would not recommend anyone's sanity to go to London on central London anyway, yeah, on Boxing Day. It was horrific.
Were people getting a bit abusive as well? Were there sort of potential? Because I often find, I mean, I tend to avoid the sales like the plague, really. And I suppose these days you could argue, well, why do you need to the sales when you can actually do everything online?
Well, it's true, but I think some people are interested in the experience of the shopping. I mean, you can't touch the fabric. I think I saw this on the telly a couple of weeks ago. You can't touch fabric online.
And, not you yet, know,
there's
anyway.
Some, yeah, not yet. But there's something about the feel of things, and when you see it on screen, it's not always like it is when you see it in the shop. So, yeah, I mean, I've bought things online which I couldn't find in the shop, and I've been very happy with them. But on the other hand, you know, I think it's you go mad at these sales as part of the experience of having to fight the queues. But to be honest, I won't do it again.
Oh. Yeah. Were you in London for New Year's as well, or just at Christmas?
Yes, unfortunately, New Year's Day I had to go off to Gatwick Airport, and there was quite a lot of mess with the... it's not mess, really, because they're trying to improve the service, but there were quite a lot of works going on from Victoria to Gatwick, which meant a change at East Grinstead on going on a coach and things like that, but... I can highly recommend Premier Inn at Gatwick. It's really nice. If you have to stay anywhere, stay there.
As we did, of course, note that it's been quite some time since we've been talking about this, so I feel 2016 should be the year, Emma, where we actually do a Midweek Drive location report from Jersey.
Yes.
What do you think? Should we make our way to Jersey?
Yes, 2016 is the year.
You see the enthusiasm that comes across there. Great. You know, let me know exactly. You know, it'll happen. You know, we will sort of put it there, probably around about the sort of June, July time or whatever, or maybe before.
And hopefully by then, Jersey's Condor Ferries, which is the most diabolical and only ferry company that runs is having problems, to the point where the supermarkets are empty of bread and other...
Yeah, you don't need bread, it's just starchy stuff, you know, that's all.
Yeah, don't come by boat, that's what I'm saying. If you have to come, fly. There must be an airport that does a Jersey flight, yeah, don't boat in.
Maybe we could get a private jet, a siren FM jet, or a helicopter.
It's worth looking to, if you don't ask, you know, clearly that's a big message there. Okay, coming up on the show, Tara Bennett, the writer and editor of SFX magazine, as we mentioned. Graham Harper is joining us to provide us with some thoughts on 2016. We've got a nutritionist, Fiona Hunter, with some advice on staying healthy for the new year, and Richard Fitzwilliams is joining us as well. Yeah, a little teaser to what he's been doing with respect to, obviously, the awards. I noticed, Emma, tragically, still no OBE or indeed Dame ship for yourself, really.
No,
it was going to be Dame Emma Tenson.
Really upset. I thought this was going to be my year.
And needless to say, Anna was expecting to have the call to the palace, but, you know, we'll just have to watch out and see. Phil Leonis will be back with another contribution from Los Angeles for 2016. Would you like to pull those last two questions to Anna Lewis, because she's just about to leave where she currently is? You know, she gave us two different telephone numbers just to confuse us at the very part of the show.
As always.
As always. I say, Anna Lewis, sorry, nobody by that name lives here. I say, is that Jersey? Yeah, never heard of her. You know, exactly.
Well, anyway. Anna, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
Yes, and I'm extremely glad to be back. Now it's New Year. Yep.
Oh, lovely. Well, will you join us again soon then?
I would very much like to. Thanks for the offer.
Theme then, or rather Eva MacDonald.
Let's Eva Cassidy.
Yeah, another person who's passed away. What the hey?
No. Very different. No.
Emma.
I'm liking this. I'm feeling inspired.
Yeah, so you should. It's by Alexander Courage. It's by Bob Carlin. It's the theme to what, Tara Bennett?
That's calling my name. It's the siren song, my friend.
Exactly. It's the Star Trek theme. Exactly. The best way forward. As
that
we go.
Theremin going away.
And one day, Eva MacDonald will come in dressed as an Orion slave girl, I'm sure. Maybe not today. Anyway, Tara, welcome back to the Midweek Drive. It seems like only yesteryear when we were actually talking about the joys of the excitements that we're looking forward for SFX and issue 270, 50 years of Star Trek. Not one, not two, but three different variant covers. I've already got two of them. One was a subscriber edition, admittedly, but then I felt, well, I had to go and get the gold one just out of, you know, for the whole thing.
Just to add to the collection.
Well,
yeah.
Still the world's number one magazine, and indeed we get interviews with William Shatner, with Jonathan Frakes, with indeed a certain couple of fine folk called David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson, and we even get Tara with her rave, super nervous about the return of the X-Files, but luckily the debut episode satisfies on all counts. So lots
it
of
does. Yeah. Thank goodness.
Yeah, it's a relief, because I was sharing with Emma the fact that obviously, like most midweek drivettes across the globe, one felt duty bound to go and see what J.J. Abrams had actually done with Star Wars. And overall, I would give it a 9.5, although I do have sympathy with George Lucas's reports, which, of course, he rapidly kind of said, no, I didn't mean, when I said white slave trade, I didn't mean Disney, you know, that wasn't, no, it wasn't quite that. But, I mean, surely there's a place for Jeremy Kyle or some sort of psychotherapist to actually sort out this Anakin family, because, you know, they've got some serious issues there.
Those Skywalkers, they're always getting into trouble.
Lord above. Quite apart from Mark Hamill, who basically sort of didn't have words to say at all, basically.
I know. I read something the other day that was like how much he got paid for that one scene.
It was the mean and moody look.
Crazy.
It was frightening from that point of view. Eva, have you seen the Star Wars thing as yet?
No.
How dare you?
Oh, yeah, so sorry. My siblings and my mother went to watch it at the weekend for my sister's birthday, but no, I didn't.
They didn't take you long.
No.
Are you sort of upset? Are you sort of shamed the family somehow the last time you went to the cinema?
She eats all the popcorn, that's why you can't take
her. They're like, no, you can't come with us anymore. Eat too much food.
Given the penchant for mead and moody looks, Tara, you'll be pleased to know that one way of actually coping with the slightly festive cold that I had over the last couple of weeks, of course, was to...
Oh.
Yeah, I know. It's timing, that's what it's
get
all about.
Get the classic Rudolph red nose and all of that.
It was, exactly. was to actually sort of focus on season one of The Flash and season three of Arrow. And
nice.
Yeah, I just felt they kind of worked well together. The Flash, currently my number one favourite show. I think it's got a lot of things that really sort of make it stand head and shoulders above everything, apart from Agent Carter, which I also saw and were putting very close by, even though it's a lot shorter as a season.
Yeah, I like
Agent Carter
as well.
Worked very well. So good positive things there. There was a time working through Arrow, though, where I did feel that they were almost getting, not more Ray's Isle. In fact, Tara, before we move into Star Trek, maybe you can actually explain to us this particular line. If not yourself, then possibly Joseph McCabe, but I'm sure you'll know this sort of thing. Why is it that in Arrow they just had so much difficulty pronouncing Ra's al Ghul? It's Ra's al Ghul, not Ra's al Ghul. Why is he switching from Ra's al Ghul to Ra's al Ghul? What's he doing? I mean, it got to the stage where...
I always laugh at that and wonder if it's something that they're trying to appropriate specifically for their show. Like, it's the pronouncement for The Flash, but nowhere else in the universe. It always makes me laugh, too. I'm going, because it's so consistent, I have to feel like there's a conspiracy behind it on the show.
Well, there's something. I watched the extras in terms of their car. No questions were put at Comic-Con raising this whole issue. I thought, John Barrowman, he was fine as Captain Jack Harkness, but please, as Merlin, I'm not sure about that.
And it's that black hair.
And also the whole Ra's al Ghul thing, I thought, enough already. I even, Tara, actually went to the stage of getting out some of my old Justice League of America graphic narratives with Mike Friedrich just to kind of go back over the Ra's al Ghul scenario and thinking, but surely this has all been done in The Dark Knight with respect to Christopher Nolan. Enough Ra's al Ghul already. However, the plus factor was at least he went off and drove off his car. He drove his car off and he was quite happy. For the first time in his life, he was happy. Which is...
That's true.
Anyway, enough of such...
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So the floor is yours, Tara. Ignore our sort of ranting and ravings about the sort of notion of, look, pronounce it correctly. If you got the head of the League of Assassins, the least you can do is pronounce the name correctly.
Yeah, got to respect him.
I would think so.
Yeah,
I would agree, too. I think, I think we should tell Joe that the next time he had talks to anybody on that show, because that show is for his beat, that he is to ask that question.
Exactly. It crossed my mind when I was thinking about he's obviously covering on Legends of Tomorrow in the current edition of SFX magazine, where Brandon Routh, and yes, he does look very similar actually to Jeff Goldblum, does he not? Is there not a certain Jeff Goldblum-esque to Brandon Routh? If you look at page 48...
He still needs a little more to the hair. He needs a little bit more of the kind of poofy hair thing, and then I think he'll be there. But he's on his way.
I've just seen the picture. No way.
Do you not think so?
No.
I mean, maybe it was because I was
Ill. Maybe a teeny, younger. I don't know.
He's a billionaire, of course, in his character of Ray Palmer. So, so I know it's amazing how many billionaires there actually are. They're obviously having secret identities and so on. But still, good to see that that's coming through its own way. Anyway, let's move on to your experience with William Shatner, who, as he said himself, in what has got to be sort of a classic quote, a quote of unmitigated quality. We've already used it once on the show today. We'll reuse it one more time, which wasn't, strangely enough. It would be interesting to try one of those shirts on again, but I'm not inured to the awesomeness of it.
Inured?
Somehow.
Inured. I love that. The man has a fabulous range of vocabulary. I have to give that to Mr. Shatner. He always throws in a 3-point word somewhere in an interview, and that was my favorite as well.
Yeah, it's just I could almost hear the sort of moment had been captured. Did he actually have the Shatner pause whilst within that whole field as well?
He did. He's, when you interview William in this phase of his life, he's very contemplative. He loves to think about his answers and he likes to be very philosophical about his answers. So we always get a pause, but I would say it's less of a dramatic pause from his Star Wars, early Star Trek days. it's now more of a thoughtful kind of old man of sci-fi kind of thinking. He's done so many documentaries lately, and he likes to think about the repercussions of fandom and how people appreciate, especially Star Trek now in its 50th year celebration. He's funny. It's funny how he is a very kind of the deep kind of sage of sci-fi
nowadays. Tara, he's only 84. That's only 5 years younger than I am. So, on that sort of basis, it's fine. You know, it's great. You know. Tara, little quiz question for you now. It's really going to put your Trek knowledge to the test. What we're currently listening to was featured in a motion picture as well as the original series of Star Trek. Can you identify the episode?
Oh, goodness.
And if I gave you a clue that it was also featured in the X-Men Days of Future Past, that might or might not help.
Oh, that's a good one.
Okay, I'll give you a quick...
It's not the Pon Farr one, is it?
It's not the Pon Farr one. No. Here's one. Sir, the chronometer's running backwards. Going backwards.
It's got to do with time travel.
Yeah.
I can't remember the title of it.
It had "I'll Take You Home Again, Kathleen," Kevin Riley.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's something time.
Nice.
And it's.
Is it Sitting on the Edge of Time, or is it
so,
a Mock Time?
No, not quite. But it's the something time, and think of the something ape.
Mm.
Without clothes, you would be.
Naked.
The naked time. And you would get there in the end. You could almost see everything, you know. We may risk it someday, Mr. Spock. Yeah, exactly. We may risk it someday. It's got Sulu stripped to the waist, charging down a whole range of crewmen, basically. With a sword.
Yes.
It's iconic.
Yes.
Anyway, we will.
I can't remember the name. Yes. You're getting me at 9 in the morning. Yes. It's not working.
Don't worry. We've got another choice one for Phil Leonis to effectively sort of address later on in the production.
Good.
So, yeah, exactly. It would be good from that point of view. Okay, let's move up because obviously Star Trek 50 years, but Star Trek Next Generation a mere 25 years. Or 28, shall we say, as you rightly say. Jonathan Frakes has served the Star Trek franchise for 28 of its 50 years. Jonathan Frakes, a lot of time for the gentleman, apart from one major blot on his career. Do you know what that might be, Eva?
I have no idea at all.
Emma, do you know what for me was the moment where Jonathan, I have to say, what had you done? What have you done? I would even ask him that question now. Why did he do this?
I don't know.
It was when he directed Thunderbirds. Back in 2003.
Classic.
Which, thankfully, Tari, you avoided asking him, but you know.
The good thing that came out of that, though, was that Busted song. That was a good tune.
Yeah.
But the film, not so much, maybe.
It was for the early part of the 21st century what The Fantastic Four by Josh Trank was to the second decade of the 21st century. Let's be honest. And as we're looking at this show from the perspective of the 23rd century, I think, you know, we all know it was not a good time for humanity.
It was not.
You got your atom bombs and your H-bombs in your North Korea. You got your unmitigated disasters with respect to Parliament. You got all sorts of other issues there, and you got your global warming. And I put it down to Jonathan Frakes directing a Thunderbirds, but so there we are.
Poor man.
But once again, Tari, you pulled out a wonderful ace in the hole with the classic line, Klingons or Vulcans, and why? Which, of course, So, you know, and as he rightly said, he served with the Klingons. I don't recall him ever sleeping with any Klingon women. I think he's deluding himself on that one. Again, I don't think.
He might have some kind of a little behind the scenes secrets. I'm not sure exactly, but yes.
I mean, I can go
you're
with.
Adamant about that.
I can go with Worf as a friend, but surely the classic line. TMI, too much information, you know, in terms of that. We don't want to know how many Klingons, if any, you've actually slept with. It's not relevant, it's not good, and it's not clever, still. But I did think the classic line which he responded to with your... In fact, Emma, would you like to read Tara's little question that comes just before Klingons or Vulcans? So if you give me the feed to Tara's question there.
Can you remember stepping on set for the first time?
I do, and I remember thinking, this looks bigger on TV.
Yes, they really had really wonderful, fun comments. And very, you know, you figure they've been asked this stuff a million times, or at least variations of it. And certainly the topic is one that they've covered over and over and over again at conventions. But they were all a lot of fun and very frank. And I think they all had a nice sense of nostalgia, knowing that there's a big anniversary year. And also us getting a new series and a new movie next year. And they were all very frank about that as well. It was really interesting to hear their long-term perspectives on being part of the Star Trek world and where it's going in the future.
There was a magazine called Mad Magazine, which I think is still out there in some way, shape or form, which once had a lovely little LV song sequence, which was back in the 1970s, I think, 70s, 80s. And as they actually said in the musical version of Star Trek, they will live forever in reruns. We live forever in reruns. That was the key thing. And strangely, they will do so. Because the Roddenberry vision was very much at the heart of the whole thing. When did you what was your first experience of Star Trek, Emma Tinson?
It was very much probably a rerun. I think I saw like a couple of Next Generation episodes on TV and stuff like that. Do you know what? I still haven't seen the new Star Trek films, and I really, really want to get around to seeing them.
Well, I think J.J. Abrams, a good start with Star Trek, but then Into Darkness, not so much. I'm not sure with respect to Justin Lin, I believe, who's directing, obviously, from Fast and the Furious to Star Trek. Parts of the trailer, I think, fantastic. Carl Urban has clearly nailed DeForest Kelly's role of McCoy and clearly the incarnation of Spock, played by Zachary Quinto, is also good. I think that's weird. Mm-hmm. But not too sure about the Beastie Boys. You know, I think sometimes this sort of fondness for the Beastie Boys, you think, enough already. You know, these, we don't want. And do we have to have another Star Trek movie where the Enterprise is destroyed? You know, again, I'm sorry. It's like not being able to pronounce Ra's al Ghul. If you're going to blow up the Enterprise on every show, it's just...
It's like bringing back another Death Star.
It's like bringing back another Death Star.
I agree.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, I was going to say it's a bit like Kenny on South Park.
Yeah,
oh my
exactly.
God, blowing up the Enterprise again. Yeah, please.
Yeah. Yes.
However, that will be working through that whole process. Life continues in all sorts of ways. Now, your treat before we go on to the X-Files, Tara, is as follows. It's an Olivia Newton-John moment, and I can offer you either... You can have the official magic from A Course Xanadu, or you could have a nice little upbeat ONJ number called Long Live Love. Now, where do you want to go, magic or Long Live Love?
I'm going to go magic. I'm going to go hardcore Xanadu.
You're going to go hardcore Xanadu? Well, I think that makes perfect sense. And it's pleasing to know that you have followed the path of the heart. So would you ever consider doing a remake of Xanadu, Tara Bennett, if somebody actually said, we'd like somebody to write, to do a screenplay for Xanadu? That's, you know, in betwixt, obviously, juggling all the rest of the commitments that work within the life and times of Tara DeLulu Bennett, would you actually consider, I'll do a remake of Xanadu. I'll write that story.
Oh, that's such a good question. You know, because they did a Broadway play of it that's actually... much better than the movie could ever be. So I kind of love their version of it because they really don't take themselves seriously. And they kind of really probably made it as good as it could possibly be. But you know what? I'd never say no to something like that. I'm sure there's some other angle I could take on it. Like maybe we change the roller skates to hoverboards. There you go.
Of course, you'd have to be very careful with those hoverboards, quite simply because a lot of them have been declared illegal and have caused all sorts of accidents. So
but those ones don't actually hover.
No.
No, yeah.
They don't hover, but I'm thinking maybe if everybody died in a horrible hoverboard incident at the end of the film, I'd win. Wins for losing. There you go.
Yeah. I know you see that way, you just sort of cross over with zombies, Walking Dead, and various other bits and pieces. People would think that it's a remake of Sons of
Anarchy.
There
you go. See?
We'd forgotten before.
I already messed it up.
Yeah. It's sensational. Before we actually move on to the views of your interview with David Duchovny and Julian Anderson, page 80, Emma, page 80. Just check out page 80 in terms of close encounters face to face with the biggest stars. If you'd like to get hold of a perfect paper copy of SLX magazine, it's there. Well, I thought it's like a combination of Emma and Eva and Tara in one sort of, you know, complete sort of version there. You would obviously get Hayley Atwell. So there we are. 40s Fireball heading west in Agent Carter season 2. So were you there when they were running around the road with shouted warnings of Big Corner?
Yes, I was there. I actually did that interview with Haley on Howard Stark's bed. No joke. There you go. Mm-hmm. Yep, we sat on Howard Stark's ugly bed and had a little chat together. So, yes, I was very, very lucky to get to go to the set of Agent Carter as they were finishing towards the end of their season 2 shooting, and it looks like a spectacular season. It looks like they're really taking advantage of Los Angeles and all of its landmarks that tie into the story of Agent Carter going to LA for the season, and the cast looks fantastic. That's one of my most exciting looking forward to shows of 2016 is what they're going to do with the next season of that show.
It certainly worked, I think, being an eight episodes yeah. In terms of the actual sequence. I thought he managed to get the right balance without too many moody looks, because maybe I was overdosing on Arrow. But I did actually try to actually offset this, Tara, by also, over the vacation, catching seasons 3 and 4 of Lex, the dark version of Star Trek in many ways.
Oh.
Yeah, with the last of the Brun and Jai, and a whole variety of other factors in that. But I still thought, enough of the moody looks already. You want to sort of take that by. Incidentally, Emma, presumably if anybody does ever offer to give you to do an interview with your good self on a bed, be very careful.
Yes. It's a difficult situation.
I know the late Paulie Yates used to use bed interviews as part of the Big Breakfast. It was a sort of a breakfast TV show, but, Tara, probably having superpowers, could just about cope with that. Other than that, it's best to actually microphone distance between the two things. Let's move on to The X-Files, of course, appearing on Channel 5, as far as Britain's actually concerned. Six episode series that we've actually got? I think we've got six, exactly. You did a double whammy. You did David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson.
I did. I was my nerd. I almost nerd exploded with the opportunity to talk to the great triangle. I got Chris Carter for the last issue, and David and Gillian for this one, and they were lovely to talk to. David was going to his new show he had the second season of a show called Aquarius that he's shooting now, and he was in very high spirits. Gillian was in Your Fair Country. She's back shooting the fall for another season. So they're very, very busy, which is why I think we all should appreciate that we at least got six of the X-Files. And hopefully, if everybody really loves that they show up fan-wise on Channel 5 and here in the United States on Fox, that they will come back and do some more stories, which would be really, really wonderful.
I felt David Duchovny was particularly ambivalent and ambiguous with respect to his response. It's something we should really actually put to the co-host of Chilpack Hollywood, of course, Dean Haglund, who is one of the lone gunmen in the X-Files. But this whole line of things, that doing six is maybe not enough to show that flexibility, so maybe we have to do more. I don't know. We'll see. Having gone through it again, I think we're all okay with moving forward with more. I don't want to speak for everyone, but I would. To which Gillian Anderson immediately chirps up with, "It's possible, but not probable."
She's got kids,
she
likes to be in your country, her adopted country. And
well,
so
then
I think
the solution is quite simple. Shoot
the
X-Files in the UK. Don't go off to Canada.
That'd be great. I think that would be great. I think that There are many, many unsolved mysteries that they could easily investigate in your fair
exactly.
land.
Exactly.
Yeah. North
it's
and south.
It's the source of mystery. We've got mysteries coming out of our ears in Lincoln.
Yeah,
it's just you can just go up steep hills and actually see more mysteries coming through that whole basis. You don't need that.
Agreed.
Yeah, so there we have it. We could even actually offer Chris Carter some surfing if he wanted to, either on Saltburn or indeed Torquay, just in case, you know, he's interested in working through that whole process. Were you an X-Files fan, Emma?
You know what? I really haven't watched any X-Files, and I feel really bad about it, because it's
okay,
obviously
Emma,
such a huge thing.
Because you've got 700 episodes of Star Trek, obviously the original series, Next Generation, Enterprise, and Voyager, and Deep Space Nine to catch up with, plus a mere 10 seasons of the X-Files, and two movies.
It's
so,
doable.
You know, sorted.
It's doable. By the end of the year, maybe. But yeah, no, I've
the rest of your life.
Yeah, well, I've heard so much about the X-Files, and I've never really got round to getting into it. But I feel like I'm going to have to at some point, just because everyone will be angry otherwise.
Well, there was a moment where I thought the X-Files was kind of building its way from the original series Twin Peaks, and I think there's a lot for saying that. Obviously, without David Lynch's Twin Peaks, maybe the X-Files, which of course had David Duchovny as a transvestite FBI operative. In the original Twin Peaks, you know, it wasn't quite, maybe it wouldn't have paved the way, but it did actually open up a whole range of things based, of course, on Kolchak the Night Stalker, Eva. Something to add to your list of things to sort out the family.
Yeah. To look at, yes.
Yes, Kolchak.
The good thing is, though, is the first episode of the new six of the X-Files, you don't have to be a long-term fan. They really service people that have never seen the show. They give you a really nice overview of what the mythology is about, and it really starts in its own case. You certainly won't get the depth and breadth if you watch the series or even the movies to understand some history that pays off for some fans, but you absolutely can watch it from scratch. So maybe this is your entry drug. You give it a try. If you like the taste, you can go back.
Definitely.
Tara calls it like it is, and indeed with her lovely line, in season opener, My Struggle, we meet a Mulder wrestling with a new level of world weariness. How did you get in there? To which David responds, with a way I can certainly identify with, world weariness gets a lot easier to play as you get old. Never mind. we don't use the O word, we just become chronologically gifted. In the background, it's the...
I like that.
Yeah, it's the teaser, music by Gerald Fried and Alexander Courage. I won't sort of ask you, unless you instantly sort of identify which episode of Star Trek this is from, but it will be used later in the show to see if indeed Phil Leonis can identify this little number. And there'll be more of that later. Anyway, Eva, would you like to, for the first time in 2016, put those last two questions to Tara Bennett? Tara, superheroine Bennett, the person who I'm sure one day will actually get to see a version of Prometheus, which will give her some xenomorph feels.
Yes, I will.
Tara, please, world.
Have you had a very interesting telephonic link with us today? For the first time this year?
Yes, I have. Yes.
Yeah, and hopefully will we be hearing again from you next time?
I would love to. Anytime you'd love to have me back, I would love to be here.
I think that'll be in a couple of weeks' time, actually. I would probably put you together with Derek Hamley, who's back with us in a couple of weeks. Next week, of course, we have the return of Katie Dorr, I believe, is joining us in that way. Yeah, I know. It's amazing.
Much to look forward to this year.
It's 2016.
It's already started.
Everything's peachy keen in 2016.